You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Steve Denikas. Steve leads the creative team at Basic, designing experiences for the world's most admired brands. He fosters creative environments that cultivate ideas, both big and small. It all began behind the color copier at Kinko's and proceeded to the mount room of BBDO and the design studio of W&K, along the way winning awards for his work on Canadian Club, Levi's, and Dodge. Today, he brings raw energy, originality, and a poetic approach to digital experiences. His shifting career has shaped his current role, building teams, methodologies, and practices that scale companies and deliver results for brands. His mission is simple: do work that creates legacies. Steve, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you so much, Nick. Well, that was a really long bio. Sorry.
Actually, it was pretty conservative there. I'd say that was a, you know, it's a paragraph, and you get a lot into that that short bio that talk about creating legacies, and there is yours, and it tells a story because it starts at a color copier at Kinko's. So you can't just toss that line in there and not say, take me back to that moment. How did you end up where you are from a color copier at Kinko's? Because there may be someone listening to this podcast that is at a color copier thinking, what's next? How do I get from here to there?
Yeah, for sure. I think my journey has been one that I think there's luck involved, but there's also just that passion, that hustle, and that curiosity for what's next. And I think a lot of what I embrace in my life is the idea of taking risks. And risks are so important both as a human, but also in business. So, my journey has been one of taking very, very significant leaps of faith, being curious about becoming an expert at something, but then also being open-minded to allowing other perspectives to guide me forward.
You know, that's an interesting an interesting duality, because I feel like so much, so often in our careers, especially in our careers as marketers and don't like the term, but I'm going to say thought leaders in our, sure, in an industry. So much of that involves around positioning this expertise. And yeah. I think that what you just said is really important to capture, because I think that in our journey to doing that, we can sometimes end up a little bit calcified by what we know. And so much, especially for where we're at right now, it involves some more flexibility, and those two things don't always live harmoniously together.
For sure. You know, I think about openness, and I think it stems all the way back to just always searching for something that hits you in the chest, that captures your heart. And for me, it is about opening the lens, understanding where culture's at, and being fluid enough to move through it. I think it's so important. And anyway, that's fluidity is something I think a lot about.
That, well, that's really interesting, and I love the impassioned statement even there, in that, you know, being open to something that hits you in the heart. And how do we know when that happens?
Oh, I think, you know, on the day to day, I remember giving a presentation that when I presented the work, I loved it. I loved what I was talking about. I loved what I was saying. And it starts with, you know, really understanding your audience, understanding where they're at, understanding how to connect with them. But then at the same time, it's about capturing that in a way that motivates the team and inspires them and creates an environment that's energetic and passionate. And for me, that's what I'm always attempting to cultivate here at Basic. It is that energy and is that spark that drives people to then present something or have a conversation with a client, and everybody gets excited.
Yeah, because it's definitely something that merits cultivation, because I found myself, just even in my own process last night, working on one of those things that you start work, an idea you have late in the day, and then it's 9 p.m. at night and you're still working away at it because it's kind of pulling you there. And I realized it took me till the morning after, and I almost missed it. I sat down this morning and I realized that must have been really, that was really important to me. Something else pulled me there. I must have been drawn to that. That meant something. But often we don't give those moments their due. I almost didn't.
Well, I think that what you're talking about a lot too is instinct. Like, your instinct in that moment was to go down this path and this road, and how can you just follow that and see where it takes you? Because I think about ideas often, and ideas float to where they want to exist, and it's just about giving that energy and giving it that value for others to get behind.
Yeah, you talk about instincts, and I can't decide if this is a good question, an eye roll question, but it's something I'm curious about, so I'm going to go with it.
Cool.
Is it a tricky time for instincts in this shifting landscape? Because that sounds like something to get behind, to follow your instincts, but it's also a little bit scary, as much as everything's changing.
Yeah, for sure. My child is non-binary, identifies as they, them. And throughout that journey with them, it's been eye-opening for me to understand how they express themselves, and then using my instincts to understand how to approach that moment. And then understanding, like, using my instincts to when there's a conversation, and this goes with clients too, it's like using my instincts in those conversations to understand what's important and what we need to push forward. And I think that's where instinct comes into play. It's like being able to listen and then understand, trust that instinct that you have, that's what this person is valuing, and then driving it forward and having more conversation and asking more questions around that.
Yeah, listening is so key, again, at the risk of sounding trite, but I feel like with all of the noise, all the distraction, everything else, listening to what someone, whether it is a client, someone that you're working with internally, whatever someone is trying to do, because I think it's easy to fall into this pattern of doing, you know, what's shiny, what's new, as opposed to thinking about what folks are actually trying to accomplish and do.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I've done a lot of soul searching, and within the last year, because I made a significant change where I moved from Portland to San Diego, and it was something So I started to look at myself and I started to understand what is it that I am, who am I as a leader? And I really identified with this idea that I'm a listener, and having that ability to listen and to understand everybody's perspective, and then to find the points that, you know, and connect the dots between the points that everybody's making has always been my approach to leadership. It's always to cultivate an answer, to probe when you're not getting clarity, but then ultimately it's about listening and connecting dots.
Well, and so often we go, whether it's leadership, creative work, we go to the dot connecting and the creative magic that we unveil. But that first foundational step of just being a sponge and listening to everything and learning, I mean, you miss that and you don't have dots to connect.
It's true. I mean, you know, when it comes to branding or the work that we're doing, you know, we're often brought into something that we're not necessarily the expert at. We obviously come with an expert perspective, but when it comes to their brand or, you know, or the project that we have, you know, it is about them kind of spewing all of their knowledge onto us and developing that understanding, asking the right questions to cultivate, you know, our ability to be able to act as experts and to identify that core truth. I mean, in what we do, we're looking for that core kernel of truth. And so it takes active listening to do that.
Well, and I mean, that's one of the parts of client work that I love, because it's working with someone who likely you don't know. And if you do it right, you get to listen, you get to sponge up everything, and you have this interesting role of being like the public, of not knowing anything for a moment. And, you know, you don't have the curse of knowledge that they have on the client side of things. And then you're really, really free to put all of that together. But it's a fun moment to just sit in and thinking about recognizing that as well. Yeah.
It's true.
Are you enjoying this conversation about branding? If so, I'd love to bring my Brand Now keynote speech to your next conference or corporate event. Based on my popular book, Brand Now, this talk breaks down the 7 dynamics of building a standout brand in our crowded, distracted world. Entertaining and educational, your audience will learn, laugh, and leave with ideas they can implement right away. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics, at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard.com/speaking. Now back to the show.
So you talk a lot about experience and designing experience, and you know, I forget if it's CMO survey, there's you know, an off the charts agreement that experience is important, and yet single to low double digits of us think that we are actually excelling at experience. And when you talk about designing experience, design is usually applied to some sort of thoughtful process going into something. How is experience designed?
How is it designed? Oh my God, that's such a good question.
Yeah,
that's deep. For us, it's about finding the you know, that point of cultural tension that generates that insight, that generates that platform to jump from, to then build something meaningful and build something that, you know, I'll say it again, that connects to culture and connects to their hearts. You know, I think for brands, it is about, you know, for a brand, they need to have a vision, and they need their mission, and they need those core set of values that people can align on. But for us, it's about building experiences that you know, bring those values to life and shows those values, not in a about page, but showing it throughout the experience. So I don't know that there's a formula for experiences other than the fact that we want people to understand who this brand is, how they show up, both in culture and as a company, and then just seamlessly and fluidly offering opportunities to expose those values in an experience.
Well, I think if there is anything, I mean, it all comes back to the values. And I think that we see so many big, amazing experiences in you know, online and in the industry trades. And we see that and we say, I want one of those. And what we don't always say, you know, I want some crazy carnival because someone else did something big like that. Make us one of those, as opposed to realizing the fact that, you know, just whether it's a carnival or something, it tracks back to what those values are. So if there's no there, it's probably hard to build an experience when your brand isn't as articulated as it should be as well.
Oh, it's 100% true. You know, if you don't know what you believe, then, you know, I do. I generally, if I'm in a kickoff and it's like, oh man, this brand just doesn't quite understand who they are, where they want to go. You know, they're lacking that ambition. They're lacking that. I often try to just cultivate that through questions and then getting it out of them and then almost, you know, branding them through designing their online presence.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. You talk about the online side of that. And I think that what's interesting is we are, with everything as digital and digitally focused as it is, how important the offline touch points have become.
Totally.
And I think that that's what people are starting to realize, because we've been in this rush to push everything online and you know, create a holistic digital experience for our brand. And we look at what's next, and oftentimes it seems surprisingly old school to bring our people together live and in person and find some interesting way to interact with them there.
100% goes down to service, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think about it all the time. It's like the ones who win are the ones that think about everything, understand how to connect them or find partners to help connect them, and then provide the best service. And it's about that surprise. You know, I always think about the Ritz-Carlton, where it's like they know your name and there's always a surprise on your pillow. I haven't actually stayed at a Ritz-Carlton, but I've read the story. You know,
same.
I'm just a kid from Iowa, so what do I know? But, you know, I think those are the things. It's like, how do you create that within your brand, and how, what is your service model? You know, what's the journey at every single touch point? You know, we help our brands understand their journey and understand every consumer touch point, and then have an opinion and have an approach to each one of those things.
Yeah. I you reminded me of the Iowa connection. So listeners will love the fact that this week you're enjoying two Iowans talking with one another, and we're more than halfway through the show, and, you know, stereotypical Iowa things have yet to come up. So,
that's true.
So it can happen. You can have a conversation without corn, anything else. But I was thinking of some sort of Iowa spin on experience, and I've got nothing outside of the fact that the state fair has to count as one of the most amazing experiences out there.
It's true. The state fair is amazing. You know, for me, I think Iowa offered, you know, a world that I never knew existed. And it was, I was always a misfit from day one. And so I grew up on the other side of Iowa from you, but
yes.
You know, there was a club called King's Court, and it was a punk rock club in the middle of Iowa that every single band on the planet wanted to play at, because there was an energy, there was a passion, and there was this just raw energy for every human that went through the doors of this old high school into this like gym. And I think that that experience in Iowa united me and showed me that there's so many people out here that are just searching for something to be a part of. And I think I've held that in my career.
Yeah, you know, and plus we'll bring it all back to branding and really the connection and the community points. I mean, that's what I think of as being a misfit kid in my own way, but instead of finding the punk rock, the much cooler group, I was more of a nerd and found, you know, other Star Trek fans. But I think that those communities that we connect ourselves to, I mean, that's what, at the risk of hurting the feelings of all of my nerdy friends and making it about evil Lord business, but that's really what the best brands are. Is they're a place where we can connect with people like us.
100%. You know, it's about cultivating that culture. It's about creating a community, and it's about having deeper conversations and perspectives brought into your world. And I think the best brands that can cultivate that, obviously there's great examples, glaring examples with, you know, Nike and brands like that who are connecting not only like from a high level just globally, but they're also within local communities. So we talk a lot about that within our own group around like hyperlocality and how brands show up in local communities and how they cultivate and inspire through being connected to, you know, like Nike is connected to dance groups and things like that throughout the world. And that's amazing. And so how do brands show up is so important in that space.
Yeah, I mean that's really and it does bring it back to that experiential level of Nike in a big sense is a brand we want to emotionally connect with and all of that. But then yeah, it's has a local presence at dance. So all of these other things are so carefully brought together, and we experience it. And people like you and I and our the listeners here are the ones overthinking that, but the average person, to them, the effect is Nike is embracing me in my life everywhere that I'm at.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. You're part of something. You're part of something, and they understand.
Part of
and
some,
they get it.
Yeah, part of something that's bigger, that stands for something, but that's also right here in my community.
It's true. And it starts with a brand having values, you know? And if you don't have those values, then you know you're not gonna build that connection.
So speaking of connections, for a connection for our listeners here, what is one thing in thinking about taking a step toward building a brand that does something like that? What's something that we're probably missing that we should pay more attention to?
Culture.
Yeah. That's
the person that you're trying to connect to. I think we often forget about it. I think you can get caught up in, well, we need to talk about this feature because it's the most important, and you make assumptions. I think assumptions, you know, I think assumptions can be an important piece of, you know, the process, but ultimately it comes down to being able to look at the data, being able to talk to people that you want to connect with, and then understand what they need. So for us, it's about looking at the data, having conversations to understand what's important, and then understanding if those are important to the end user. And just making sure that everything that we create.
Absolutely. I I couldn't agree more, and boy, I came close to just mowing right over you when you said culture, because with the question being, what are most people missing? Yep. That's not usually one that shows up on today's branding and marketing checklist.
Cool. Yeah, for us, it's so important, and I think it's what we do really well.
Steve, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
Oh, my God. Glossier.
Ah, and the smile, was there a specific smile? Was it just in general? Was it...
I think it was this... I read a quote from the founder that said, I was told that I couldn't create a startup in New York City, and in what was that? Just, I don't remember exactly the quote, but essentially it was like, she did it. She crushed it. And her company is now worth, valued at $1.2 billion. And to me, that is someone who, saw something, went after it, and was just crushing things. And yeah. To me, that's so exciting, and it needs to happen more often. And it's a brand that is setting the standards, and I couldn't be more excited for them and their journey.
Told they couldn't do it, did it, crushing it, and we've come full circle, back to instincts. Well done, sir.
We did it.
Well, before we head, where can folks learn more about who you are and what you do?
Cool. So if you want, I work at an amazing company. We have offices in San Diego and in Mountain View in St. Louis. It's called Basic. You can go to basicagency.com to kind of see what we're up to. We're on Instagram, and myself, I am a huge advocate of LinkedIn. So if you find me there, I'm Steven Denikis on LinkedIn. I love having conversations through that platform.
Awesome. So
it's one of my favorites.
Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Steven, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Thank you, Nick. Awesome. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
And remember, you can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review. Help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.